Welcome to Eyes and Teeth, Season 12. Nigel Hogg is a familiar face at Cromer Pier in Norfolk. He's part of the furniture there, and I've been working in that venue since 2006 with Nigel. He has a great sense of humour, but he just doesn't show it. I loved learning more about Nigel and his first introduction to Sir Ken Dodd in those early years, and he spent decades working for the King of Diddy Men. Nigel tells me of his Royal Variety performance with Doddy and many nights backing him, which are funny anecdotes only he can share. We talk about Gary Barlow, Tucker, Summer Seasons, Pantomimes and Beyoncé. Yes, you heard that right. I said Beyoncé. Welcome to Eyes and Teeth, the big, big talent of Nigel Hogg.
Nice to be here.
You're a man who prefers being behind the scenes, yet you still create magic on stage, and this comes from decades of experience working with the best in comedy and music. I've tried so hard to edit this question out without panning your surname, but I would like to find out when you started hogging the limelight. When this today is a hog roast.
Oh, thank you.
I've been wanting to roast you for years, right?
Yes, so get your own back.
We could probably start, right, with the youngest church organist at 10 years old. How did you get to that point? What were you interested in as a child before you went to the church?
Well, I played the piano a lot as a child. I started when I was four. My dad was a church organist, and I started having organ lessons. And from about the age of 8 or 9, I used to dep for my dad. If he had something during the week, and he worked during the week, so I used to go and dep at the church for him. Oh. There was an advert in the local paper for the local church looking for an organist, and I pleaded with my dad to let me reply to the advert, and he said, "Don't be silly, of course you wouldn't apply for it." So I applied for it and got the job. I think I was possibly the only applicant, but never mind. And I was there for the next 15 years for playing for the church.
So you were 10 years old when you started?
Yeah.
What did that look like for the churchgoers to look up and see a 10-year-old playing all that? And were you good back then?
Well, I managed.
Were you reading music?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I've been reading music for years, yeah. Wow. I started really young. I was really into it then.
It's amazing. Where's your home turf?
Just outside Leeds.
Is that
a place called Guiseley? Yeah, that's where I was born.
Guiseley.
That's where I've moved back to now after many years of travelling around.
You went back to your roots?
Yeah.
So were your family of any musical talent at all, or were you the first?
Well, I'd say my dad was an organist. My father was an organist.
Okay.
Until he had to retire because his eyesight went and he couldn't see to play anymore.
Oh.
I gave up church organ, obviously, when I started getting professional work, and I was away more than I was there, so it was a good idea to leave it to someone else who could do it all the time.
Yeah, sure. But did you have any inspirations, like pianists that you'd seen on TV? How did you get inspired to play the piano? Obviously your father was an organist.
Yeah, so I mean, it was music at home. I was, from a very, very early age, I was very keen to play the piano. Pestered my parents so I could have piano lessons. So, I've always been into it, yeah.
That's amazing. And then you went on to the social clubs. How old were you then? When did
that? A friend of mine at school, we both had organ lessons at school, and he was into playing for entertainment. He used to play in social clubs. He actually played at the ice rink in Bradford and the cinema in Bradford. So I hung about with him and got into that sort of scene, because I'd always been on the classical side of things, obviously being a church organist.
Right.
So I ended up doing a couple of nights a week at the local ice rink while I was still at school, while I was 16.
Amazing.
And then playing in the local social clubs. So I did that for a few years.
It's very difficult for us in this generation to think of a cinema having a pianist or an organist in there. What were they covering? Were they doing the music for the Charlie Chaplin films?
Well, used to play in between the films, and you'd come up on a lift. And,
Like a Blackpool Wurlitzer.
Yeah, it was the Wurlitzer, and there was one in the Odeon at Bradford, a big one in the Odeon.
Oh, that's amazing.
And my school friend used to take me down there, and then we joined the Cinema Organ Society, which I'm actually still a member of. And we'd go around and I'd give little concerts on cinema organs.
That's amazing. They don't do that in cinemas anymore, do they?
Not a lot, no. Very, very few cinemas have still got organs, yeah.
Yeah. And so did you get yourself an agent then to take you into the social clubs and beyond?
Well, no, the local, so in those days, obviously all the clubs had organists and drummers and a lot of entertainment, which nowadays all the entertainment's self-contained.
Yeah.
But and there were shops, music shops in those days used to sell electronic organs, and they used to sell them to the social clubs.
Right.
So I got the job. What the shop would do is they'd send myself and a salesman to a club that was interested in buying an organ, and they'd put an organ in that they were trying to sell to the club, and I'd sit and play it, and the salesman would be giving them the sales chat, trying to persuade them to buy it.
Amazing.
And I was sort of demonstrating it.
Organ donors then.
So, in a way, yes. And I got residencies from that. Clubs would say, well, will you come and be resident at our club? So
brilliant.
That's how I got into that sort of side of the business.
Then you got your first summer season. So how old were you when you worked with the bachelors?
22. And I was in a local band. We used to play at local hotels for dances and things. And the sax player from the band did a summer season in Scarborough. He'd gone off to do his summer season. And the piano player in the band was taken ill and wasn't likely to come back for the rest of the season. And so the MD said to the band, does anybody know anyone who would like the job?
Fabulous.
And so this sax player said to me, would you like to do a season in Scarborough with the bachelors? And I went, yeah, that's fine.
You were 22. This is really weird, right? But when I was 22, I took on my first ever summer season as a cabaret, and it was around Great Yarmouth and Norfolk, and I got a gig at Vauxhall.
Oh yes.
Colony Park.
Yeah.
When I was 22.
Right.
With the bachelors.
Right, really?
Yes, isn't that weird? I supported the Bachelors when I was 22 as well. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I mean, we were only 5 years apart in age, so
yeah, no, yeah.
That's not too bad. Isn't that weird?
Only five.
It's a small business.
Yes.
I left out the 40. So, and then you went on to holiday camps and things, Primrose Valley.
Primrose Valley up in Yorkshire, yes.
I worked there once as a visitor.
Yeah, I had, had the band there. Well, there was Primrose Valley and Reeton, which were two
Reeton Sands,
which were both owned by the same company.
Yeah.
So they each had a band, and we used to do the summer season at the holiday camp. And used to do panto in the at Christmas, not at the holiday camp, obviously. But
yeah. Well, no, the Haven Parks, they used to have resident bands, and then Warners. Mm. Warner Leisure had, but Warners are the only ones really that have resident
it
bands.
Is, yes.
They don't do it anymore.
They don't do it anymore in Havens, no. In those days, I mean, it was like 4 or 5 piece band in each in each park, and it was quite a good season as well.
I remember
before Easter right through to November. It was a good, good long season.
The seasons went on a long time.
They did,
they?
Yeah.
And then, did you go into panto then?
I did panto at Christmas. Yeah, I did. So my first panto was with I'm trying to think now, Bernard Breslau, in
really?
Those days from the Carry On films.
Yes. Funny man.
And worked for Paul Elliott. Okay. Put pantos on
EMB
Productions. Yeah, I did their pantos, and that was in the obviously in the winter when I wasn't doing the holiday camp in the summer.
That's what you do as entertainers. We do a summer season, and then you do pantomime, and then there's always 1 or 2 months in between both, isn't there? Where we struggle, or have a holiday. Did you ever have holidays?
Not in the season. No, usually in February or November or something.
Nothing open then, is it?
No,
that's why I got married in Vegas in November.
Right.
Yeah, save up all summer and then blow it on a wedding.
Yeah.
And I'm only getting married once, so you got to make it worthwhile. So how did you get to the Palace Theatre in Plymouth?
Well, I got in, I did a summer season in Scarborough with a promoter called John Redgrave, who's still a friend of mine, lives in Bristol. And he had several summer seasons. I think he did Lowestoft and Scarborough. And he did Eastbourne, actually.
Did he?
Where you live,
Congress.
Yeah. No, the other one, the one in the main street.
Hippodrome.
Yeah.
That's where I met my wife, Nina.
Is it?
Mm.
Oh. And so I did the Scarborough summer season for him, and he said, I've just taken over the Palace Theatre in Plymouth.
Wow.
Would you like to come down and be the resident musical director?
Amazing.
And also, like, the supervising musical director for the summer seasons. So I moved down to Plymouth, worked at the Palace Theatre, and did the music for his summer season, did all the musical arranging for the summer seasons.
Who did you have down there? Did you have, like, comedians and...
Yeah, certainly the second panto I did there was with... Now, I'm going to have to think now.
It's all right.
Alvin Stardust was a joint top.
Oh, OK. Norman Wisdom?
Norman Wisdom, that's right, yes. They both did the same year. Alvin was Prince Charming. No, the same panto. They did panto, yeah.
That's a good cast.
Had about a 10-piece band. It was a really good panto.
Wow.
It was good. Then I went away to Jersey. I did a season in Jersey. And then came back again.
So can I just stop you at Jersey? Because I know a lot of people that have worked there. You know, my mate's Mickey Zaney. There's a lot of comedians that talk about Jersey. And I never went over to do seasons. But it was quite bustling with theatres And yeah, really good hotels they put on entertainment.
I did a nightclub called El Rancho, I believe it was called, if I remember rightly. Oh. The top of the bill was a tenor called Renato, as in René and Renato. Yeah.
Save your love for me.
That's the one.
Yes. I worked with him once on a cruise ship, and he used to love PR in his show. So he would come into the restaurant dressed up as a chef, on a table, and start singing Save Your Love. But well, the next night, he had a packed room because they knew he was on the ship.
Yeah, he was originally a waiter in an Italian restaurant in Birmingham.
Oh, was he really?
Because we actually did a gig with Ken in the restaurant, which Renato had been a waiter. Then he got famous with René. And with the proceeds of becoming famous, apparently, he went back and bought the restaurant.
Really?
Yeah, so then booked Ken to do a night at his restaurant.
Oh, that's and Ken came to do it?
Yeah, I did it with Ken. And
wow, Renato. That must have been a long wait in between courses.
Eyes and teeth.
Is that how your paths crossed with Ken Dodd? How did you get to
The way I met Ken was that the summer season I did for John Redgrave in Scarborough was a split season. It was Mike and Bernie Winter's last summer season. They did the first half of the summer.
Wow.
Ken did the second half of the summer. And he brought his own musical director and drummer. But obviously I met him on the show and got to know him.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went away. I did Plymouth, did Jersey. When I came back from Jersey, I was back into doing social clubs.
Right.
And I was doing a social club in Sheffield, which was a Sunday lunchtime and night. And I noticed that Ken was on in Sheffield that day. And I knew he'd obviously be there in the afternoon for a sound check and things. Yeah. So I thought, I'll pop down to the theatre and say hello and meet the band again, who I obviously had met before. So I went down and Ken said, leave me your phone number if I ever need a keyboard player. Can I give you a ring? And I said, yeah, that's fine. And this was November. Barely a week or two later, I got a phone call from Ken Dodd. I said, oh, hi, Ken. He said, would you like to do a panto for me? I said, yeah, of course I would, because obviously I'd just come back from Jersey. The work was a bit thin on the ground. I was just doing social clubs. And I said, yeah, it's fine, Ken. I'd love to. He said, it's at the Alex in Birmingham, Alexander Theatre in Birmingham.
Wow.
I said, that's great. I said, when does it start? He said, tomorrow. So that was it. Mm. I was off down to Birmingham, and that was my first job with Ken. So then I was with Ken throughout, certainly the first half of the 80s. So I did several years with Ken as his MD.
Really got to know him.
He had a very old established musical director called Danny Walters.
Right.
Who was he worked for Delphonse and things.
Mm-hmm.
But he was just about to retire. So I took over then as Ken's MD and worked with him for several years. We did television series at the BBC.
Did you do the TV show? BBC
show? The Kent Doddy's Showbiz.
Yeah.
And we did loads of Pebble Mills and Parkinson's and things. So it's a really good time for an MD to be.
Parkinson.
Yeah.
One of my dream jobs. This is another dream job you've stolen from me.
Oh, sorry. I have got a video somewhere of me in a white jacket, sat at a grand piano in front of the Harry Stoneham band, which I really treasure. Doing Parkinson.
Well, well deserved. Amazing. Parkinson was a great show.
It was lovely, yeah.
And so the 80s really was, a big crescendo, I guess, for variety, summer seasons and that. They started to go down really in the 90s.
They did, yeah.
70s and 80s were great for
there was loads of work.
60s, yeah.
Loads of work.
Mm.
We'd be doing nightclubs for a week. We did was it Blazers at Windsor?
Yeah, the cabaret venues.
Cabaret venues, Lakeside.
Windsor.
Savas.
Caesar's Palace.
Caesar's Palace, we did that.
We're
still a week in each place, yeah, wow. With Ken.
Great days.
Great days, those, yes.
You must have really got to know Ken. Not just his act, but you got to know Ken.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we travelled about all
the banter. Place.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah. I felt that banter. I've worked with you and Ken.
Right.
And you both take the,
yeah.
I can bleep this next bit. Beep out of me. Yeah, we learn to get to know you quick like that because of your sense of humour, you know. But you've got this dry sense of humour that I love. You know, you're like an original Jack D to me.
Oh, that's one of my comedy heroes.
Well, I know why. Because he's nicked your act. That's why, Nigel. How did you rehearse that first show with Ken? Did you just turn up? You just read the band parts?
Yeah.
And you didn't rehearse with Ken?
No. I mean, when the first, obviously the panto was all scored and everything, so that was just a normal, like a band gig.
Mm.
Then we went out on the road. In those days, we had a bass player and a guitar as well, so a four-piece band. The rest of the band obviously knew all the music, so they talked me through it and sort of guided me through for the first few shows, and then. But it was interesting.
Oh, conversational!
I've worked with you and Ken, and I've worked with you on some of his shows. But you sit there from the start, and it can be a four and a half hour show because you do back the acts as well. You've backed me on the show. How do you sit there for like 15, 20 minutes in between the sets and stay awake? It's so long, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
I mean, I'm not being disrespectful, but it's such a long time to sit there and not being doing anything.
Oh,
and then you have to come out with a...
Oh, I know, yes.
And then a little...
Be careful not to miss a cue. And Ken did have a tendency, just because he could, I suppose, but he would suddenly burst into song, but any random song at all, not something from his repertoire, just any song. And I'd have to join in. And he'd try about four or five songs, and I'd join in. And then he'd get to one I'd probably never heard of, and I'd start fumbling about trying to join in, and he'd turn around and he'd go, got you.
Really?
And then carry on with his act. Oh, it was just a bit of a game between
us. But always got a laugh with the audience. I'd seen him do that a few times, and it always got a laugh when he, you know, try and wake the band.
Yeah, I only fell asleep once.
You did fall asleep once?
Yes.
Can you tell us that story?
It's not too long ago. But it was the last spot. It must have been about 11:45 at night when the show had started at 7:30. And I suddenly was aware that I'd woken up. And I was aware of two things that were happening. The drummer, who sat next to me, was well aware that I was asleep and should be awake, ready to do the next cue, was sniggering because he knew what was coming.
Kenny Adams.
Kenny Adams, my good friend.
Bless him.
And Ken turned round and... looking at me, and he said, well, are you going to play or what?
Did he know you'd been asleep?
You could tell, yes. I suddenly...
You could tell you were just putting your pyjamas on.
Yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant. And it can't be, as I say, it can't be easy to sit there that whole time to be, you know, taking that in.
But this was during the second time that I actually worked full-time with Ken, more recently.
Yes. There was a time when you cut 20 minutes out of Ken's show. And it may have been for that reason you just needed to get to bed. Can you explain that story?
Well, Ken would occasionally turn round and sort of say to the band, what comes next? Half jokingly. And I thought I'd be clever and get a bit of time off the night. And so I actually missed 20 minutes of material out and gave him like the wrong cue further on into the show. So Ken said, are you sure about that? And I went, yeah. So he carried on from where I'd said we'd got to.
Brilliant.
Fast forward, well, slow forward about 4 hours, and it's coming up to 12 o'clock. Ken's doing his last spot. And all of a sudden, he put in the exact 20 minutes I'd missed out, turned around and looked at me as if to say, you thought you had me there.
That's amazing how he knew that. And another little chuckle. And he kept you going all through the night thinking you got away
with
it. He's a very clever man, isn't he?
Very, 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 yeah.
Very talented.
He was lovely to work with. Yeah.
Clever man. That's lovely to hear. I always enjoyed working with him. He made everyone so welcome that was in his family, I guess. He did make you feel part of the family.
Yeah.
And as Anne did, you know.
Well, we used to love going on the jobs with Ken and the support acts. It was as you say, like a family travelling around, and we'd have some good times, which I really miss now.
I know a lot of his support acts, and it's especially Andy Eastwood, you know, you must have got to know those acts as well.
Oh, yeah, Andy and Dante, yes. Mark and V. And Amethyst, Danny and Steph,
incredible entertainers.
Yeah, and we'd meet it regularly on the gigs. And
Ken really loved his variety, but he really loved ventriloquists. Did you work with a lot of vents over the years? Because
to be fair, not that many.
No,
I did a couple of gigs with Keith Harris.
Yes,
because I worked for a while when I was up in Scarborough in the winter. I worked in a nightclub doing. Back in the cabaret and playing the nightclub,
right.
And the owner was a friend of Keith's, and he came up and did a couple of nights for him, a couple of corporate nights for him. So I did that work. But no, I haven't.
I know that Ken loves vents. You know, he did have a lot of respect for like Dennis Spicer, Arthur Worsley, and I think Dawson Chance may have done it. Then if Neville King worked with
Neville King, I was trying to remember his name actually. Right. He used to do quite a lot of support for Ken. Back in the 80s.
Did he really?
Did a lot of Ken's shows, yeah.
He was a master, wasn't he?
Yeah. If But yeah, I think he did the television series. He did one of the shows on the television series.
Oh, did he really?
Neville, yeah.
Amazing. And there is... did Ken ever talk to you about previous piano players or keyboard players before you came along?
No, not really.
Did you know that Gary Barlow used to play keyboards for Ken Dodd?
No, I didn't.
There was a nightclub in Manchester or Blackpool, and I think Gary Barlow was in his teens, and he used to back Ken Dodd in the clubs.
Oh.
And probably not touring with him, but Ken would come back to the same club, and that's where Gary was learning his trade. It's amazing.
Right.
So you put Gary Barlow out of work, Nigel.
There we go.
Take that.
Take that.
There's this 89-year-old lady who told me this story this morning over breakfast, and it made me laugh. I need you to tell me this story about them.
This is going back about 4 or 5 years.
Was it just 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah, it was quite recently. And we were getting to the end, towards the end of the show, and always at about 12:15-ish, Ken would read out letters that people had written in, welcoming them to the show. And he read this letter out from a lady. I can't remember her name. It'd be Gladys or something like that. And he said, right, we've got a letter from Gladys here. And she's 90th birthday. She's 90 today. And he called out to the owner and said, are you 90 like today, since it was after 12 o'clock? Was it yesterday? And clear as a bell from the back of the stalls rang out this lady's voice. She said, I were 89 when I came in.
Lovely line.
Brought the house down. Yeah, you can really follow that.
You imagine you wanted to keep that as like a stooge after that. It's not a wonderful way.
Yeah.
But you don't want the audience to be funnier than you.
Not really, no.
Do you?
No. Well, yeah.
It's like that when I'm on, isn't it?
Yeah, no, yes. You should be.
Can you talk to me about your Kudos pantomimes? You've backed them up for Kudos.
Oh, yeah. Because I knew Nick Thomas and John Conway from Scarborough.
Yeah.
They're
great
did
ambassadors,
a show
with, aren't they, for show business?
One of their first shows that they put on was Ken in Scarborough.
Was it really?
So I obviously got to know him. I used to... John Conway, he probably won't thank me for saying this on a podcast, but was a children's entertainer at Primrose Valley when I first met him.
He was proud of doing
that. I used to play for him in the family room at Primrose Valley.
Really?
Back in... Yeah, so quite often if I see him, I'll just play a little bit of Simple Simon Says... Remind him of the old times.
Well, Nick Thomas was a puppeteer, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. He used to do shows on the Primrose Valley as well, because they're both from Scarborough. And so, obviously, we've kept in touch. And I did loads of pantos for them. Did Croydon, Reading, Basingstoke.
You done the Anvil?
Yeah, did panto there. I think
I was born
with
there.
Hinge and Bracket, I think, were on that.
I didn't know you were in Basingstoke.
Yeah.
I said hello.
Stoke, Woking. I did a couple of years at Woking, a couple of years at Reading. So, yeah.
So, Hinge and Bracket, what other names did you work with in panto? Do you recall any?
Oh, gosh. Far too many to try and...
Any comedy names? You know, like Brian Connolly's, Paul O'Grady?
I worked with Brian Connolly.
Did you?
On a summer season for Kudos.
Where was that?
I think it
was... It Weymouth?
Might have been Weymouth, yeah.
I met him in Weymouth, and Hilary O'Neill was on the show. Was
yeah, I did. I did panto with Hilary O'Neill in Reading.
Okay. Hexagon.
I did the summer season with the Baron Knights for Kudos in Weymouth.
Wow. Pavilion.
And subsequently got a gig with as a Baron Knight.
Did you?
Because I'd done the summer season with them, and they went to Austria to do a corporate job for the Association of Travel Agents. And a few days before they were due to go, their bass player, Bill, had a car accident and broke his leg and wasn't able to go.
Wow.
So since I knew their act, I mean, I was playing bass on the keyboards, but he was going to play keyboards for this thing. They were doing a parody of The Sound of Music as part of his corporate, as they did, you know, they used to parody songs.
Yeah.
And so they rang me up quick, do you want to come to Austria as a Baron Knight? So I was actually a Baron Knight for a week.
Oh, Baron Just Week.
Baron Week, yeah.
That's amazing.
In Austria.
I didn't know that. Well, I've got a picture of me and the Baron Knights, because I used to be at the stage doors to meet, that's why I first met Ken in Portsmouth at Southsea.
Mm.
And about 15 years later, I first supported Ken at Southsea, a wonderful King Sitter. But I went down to Weymouth to meet the Baron Knights. I've got a picture of me on stage with them. They saw this little boy at stage door.
Oh, wow.
And nice picture. I wonder if you're in that picture. I'm going to have a look.
You are.
it Weymouth Pavilion? It's Weymouth a one-nighter, Pavilion. I think.
Well, this was a summer season.
Well, it might have been a season.
It was a summer season. And Shane Ritchie.
Was he on it?
It was his first summer season ever. He'd just started in the business.
This would have been in the mid-90s.
It would have been in the... I'm trying to think now. Probably late 80s, and been early 90s, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I was the only child prodigy in the Barrow Knights at the time.
Were you? And then, now I was here just 2 weeks ago with my family, Chessington World of Adventures, and you used to work there, didn't you?
I did, yeah. While I was doing Panto at Reading, and the at Chessington in those days, they had a circus, which was run by a Moroccan gentleman called Ali Hassani. Mm. And his wife had seen, and his daughter had seen me in the Panto. They were looking for someone to do the band for their circus, so they got in touch with me, offered me the job in the band. In the circus at Chessington. So I was there for 12 years, 11 or 12 years.
Okay.
At Chessington, doing the show in the tent. Until Amazing. They actually did away with the show. They replaced it with a ride in the end. But,
did they?
The show finished, but I was there till the show went.
They had some scattered shows a few weeks ago. They had like a big production show at Pirates and things, and then there was a magician in his own little tent. So, you know, it still happens, but they were more productions back then, were they?
Yeah, well, there was a circus production. There were half-hour shows with circus acts in a tent. But I also got involved in the technical side of the park. I was one of the technicians in the park.
Right.
Because on one particular occasion, in those days, they used to do shows around the park. And they said, they need a little PA system putting in this particular part of the park for line dancing. So I promptly went out with the PA system, set it up, and I was wandering around looking for people in Stetsons and what have you, and all I could see was a load of Chinese men, and it turned out it wasn't line dancing at all, it was Chinese lion dancing.
That sounds like a cat, doesn't it? That's how'd you get on? Good.
All right, yeah, the lion didn't eat me, so I was all right.
Wow. Speaking of circus, you worked 6 years with Jerry Cottle. Now, I remember being on Cromer Pier in 2011, or it could have been seven.
Yeah.
And you introduced me to Jerry, and he was a lovely, lovely gent.
Yes.
And we met a couple of times after that. He invited me, because of you, and my family to the circus. He wouldn't charge us for tickets.
Yeah, it was lovely, yes. I've been down
very
to
sad that
to
we lost him recently.
Very sad indeed. He used to come see the show every year when I worked for him for 6 years. And prior to that, I had put bands in his circuses while I was still at Chessington. I used to supply him with musicians, and him and Brian Austin, who then put Cottle and Austin's circus.
Cottle and Austin.
I toured for 6 years with the show.
Did you? Was caravan. Doing the touring around the proper circus?
Yeah, we toured for 6 years.
Wow.
The lorry and a caravan and on the road.
I met Jerry on the M27 services because he came from where he's from.
Yeah.
From the, you know, the cheddar Wookiee, And I speak of cheddar, he gave me a lovely lump of cheddar and I keep going back there to get it because it's the best cheese I've ever had. And I drove from Eastbourne. We met just to talk about me doing a season with him. And he's never used a ventriloquist before and he wanted to see if it would work, but my dates clashed and I couldn't. Right. So I nearly talked with Jerry Cottle. Yeah. I would have loved to do that around the South Coast.
Yeah.
There was just too many dates and I was already booked out.
I did Wembley with him.
Wow.
With his, he used to do a circus at Wembley every Christmas. I did a couple of years with him at Wembley.
Was that in the 90s? Oh, that's amazing. He was a great man, wasn't he? He really created some lovely things. The Wookiee Hole was a great great venue.
I did their circus from, I think it was 97, left in 2004, so.
Right.
Ooh, conclusion.
Well, you left in 2004 and then something else comes along that ends up being your baby.
Cromer.
And we're sat there right now. We're in Cromer.
In Cromer.
On the end of the pier, and I'm doing a little week summer season with you. When I say that, I don't mean it's a week. It's a strong show. But I'm here for a week.
Yeah.
Because this year, you've got different acts every week. It's a completely different format. But what was it like when you joined in 2005? Was that with Di Cook?
It was, yeah. When I was at Chessington, the operations manager at Chessington was Rory Holborn. So I got to know him very well. I was very friendly with him. And happened to speak to him as I was leaving the circus in 2004, and told him I was backing in the circus. And he said, would you like to do a summer season in Cromer next year, 2005? And I went, yeah. So I actually came up on my day off, which I was, the circus was in Bournemouth at the time. So I drove all the way up from Bournemouth, and he said, go up and see the show, see if you'd be interested in doing it. So I came up, saw the show, which I think was the first year that Di had directed it. Enjoyed the show, so I said, yeah, I'll do a season for you, expecting to do a season for him. And now, 17 years later, I'm still here.
We can't get rid of you.
No.
Not that we're not. Trying.
Very and trying.
It's a great experience for you. You're enjoying it.
Oh, I love it, yeah, yeah. Done it every summer and Christmas for 17 years.
Yeah, and I joined here. Tucker introduced me to Cromer. So in 2006,
yes,
to me, you and Tucker worked together that Christmas.
Yes.
That was great fun. And then I came back with Peter Piper in 2007.
Yeah.
And then 2011 with Paul Adams.
Yes.
So I've done three seasons with you.
Yeah.
Apart from this week.
Apart from this week, yeah.
Can we call this the fourth season?
Yeah.
I always come fourth, don't I?
You always come fourth, yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of coming fourth, I went on Britain's Got Talent to try and get on the Royal Variety Show.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't need to. You just needed a phone call. How did that come about?
Right. So I stopped working full-time for Ken in the late 80s. And well, when I was at Chessington, I did occasional shows for Ken. Then on the circus, because Ken was always very interested in circus, if we were anywhere near Liverpool, I would phone Ken up and he'd come and see the show and pop round the caravan for a cup of tea after the show, which he used to really enjoy and used to catch up. And so then I left the circus. I'd done my first year at Cromer, 2005, and then I did the 2006 summer season. And I remember it very well. It was November 2006, and I was actually Saturday night. I was sitting at home watching Parkinson, and the phone rang, and it was Ken. And he said, I've got a gig. Would you like to do it? The fellow that works for me at the moment doesn't want to do it. Would you like to do it? I said, yeah, of course I will, Ken. What is it? And he said, it's the Royal Variety Show. So I'm like, ah, just a little gig then.
Small gig.
I perhaps better refresh my memory of your act.
Yeah, did you have to think about it?
Or... Yeah. Yeah, I went and watched about two or three shows from the wings to just completely sat behind that his then keyboard player.
Obviously, what,
just to get
I mean,
an idea of what I should
part
be doing.
What show did he choose for him?
He just picked his, what he regarded as his most suitable material for a Royal Variety Show. And he said that the gentleman who was working with him then was about to retire. Would I like to come back full time? So I agreed with Ken that I would work for him all the year except when I'm a Cromer.
And I remember watching that Royal Variety Show. It was so nice to actually sit there and watch Ken, one of the masters, who's probably done countless Royal Variety Shows. Mm. How many have you done, Nigel?
Just the one.
That's all you need, isn't it?
Yeah, I've done one more than some people.
I joke about it. It's not a dream anymore. It was a dream. And no. If it comes up, it comes up. But if you chase it, I don't think you'll get it.
It was a very surreal experience because it was at the London Coliseum. And the London Coliseum has got what amounts to a cafeteria under the stage, which is like the green room, the restroom for the acts.
Strange.
And everyone was in there. So you're like at the next table to Barry Manilow. We actually sat on a table with Beyonce chatting.
Did you chat with Beyonce?
Yeah, we were all sat together and it was like
big family.
And everyone just got on. You know, it was just amazing.
I love the fact that you were chatting to Beyonce. I've never thought them words would come out of your mouth. That's amazing.
Yeah.
How wonderful. I'm just let that sink in. Nigel Hogg and Beyonce.
And it was just take that, we're on, had a chat with them.
You didn't even know the connection between you and Gary?
No,
at the
I didn't.
Time.
No, we just had a chat.
Next time you work with them.
Nice gig and good day and everything. It was good.
Oh,
it was a
amazing.
Good experience. Yeah.
Well done. I'm really pleased for you. As much as you think I'm jealous, I'm not. I love seeing people do well. And if you've done Royal Variety, you deserve that.
I mean, 20 minutes, but that's 20 minutes of Royal Variety, I suppose.
20 minutes is a long time on a Royal Variety, isn't it?
Yeah, just when you edit it down to about four.
They did edit too much.
They edit a lot out of Ken's spot.
Ken wasn't happy about that, was he?
Not very happy at all, no.
No.
But of course, you always consider that they've edited out what you consider to be the best bits and left the bits you're not so happy about. So
that's a shame. Big shame. But he's always loved, he's always been loved, and he's very missed now, is it? It must have been heartbreaking.
Yes, when
you heard. We were all heartbroken, you know, we still are. And it's...
And quite shocked, because while Ken was in hospital, I'd speak to him on the phone quite regularly.
Oh.
And only about a week before, he'd said, oh, come over soon and we'll start working on a new act for when I go back on the stage.
Amazing.
So he was fully expecting to
still recover. There in their hands.
Yeah,
head,
yeah, recover, and that was both to talk about some new songs and things.
Yeah, it's quite
a shock
when you're expecting him to come back and he doesn't.
Yeah,
it's heartbreaking.
Mm.
But what he did for us was just truly incredible.
Just a sort of a coincidence. The first time that I ever saw Ken was at Bradford Alhambra in Panto. My parents had taken me to see the Panto.
Oh, so you'd seen him work?
At Bradford Alhambra when I was a little kid.
Mm.
And that was the first time I ever saw Ken. And the last time I ever saw Ken was the last show I did with him, which was at Bradford Alhambra.
Wow.
So the first and last time I ever saw him was at the same theatre.
That's strange, isn't it?
Yeah. Amazing.
The first time I met him was King's Theatre South Sea. First time I supported him was King's Theatre South Sea. Last time I supported him was King's Theatre South Sea, and I had loads in between.
Yeah.
But obviously, last time I saw him was his 90th birthday. I got to perform a little spot at his birthday in London, which is very nice. Great little do. But I got a little Ken Dodd puppet made up.
Oh.
Yeah, so I've got a little Ken Diddy Doddy, I call him.
Diddy Doddy.
So I like to sort of get, and you made some lovely music for me recently, so try and pay tribute to him in a nice way. It's always nice to remember these greats, isn't it?
Yes.
And so speaking about remembering greats, what's your favourite acts from Cromer that you've worked with over the last 17 years?
Oh,
you know, some with puppets maybe, or...
Some chap called Hewlett, maybe.
There has been great.
Oh, I mean, everyone, we get on with everyone. I mean, the great thing about Cromer is invariably the company doing the show all get on well.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're all getting together, and everyone's different, but everyone, you know, brings their own style and everything. Yeah. But
it is a family atmosphere, I think.
Very much so, yeah.
And it's very loyal.
Yes.
You know, it is loyal.
Yeah, it's a lovely theatre as well.
You work with the Simmons brothers?
Simmons used to be a support for Ken in the 80s.
Yeah.
That's how I met them. They were one of Ken's main supports back then.
And then they're here.
And then they were here, yeah.
Yeah. So you got to work with Ben and Keith and Alan and Keith.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Great guys, aren't they?
Yeah, I worked with Alan and Keith for Ken.
Yeah.
I remember we did a summer season at the Futurist in Scarborough with them, with Ken.
And that's no longer here, is it?
No, they've gone. All the theatres in Scarborough have gone.
Well, most of the ones that you've worked. Is this the only theatre left?
This seems to be a bit of a trend. Every theatre I've worked at's been demolished.
Oh, blimey. I'm getting off the pier. I'm leaving on Sunday.
We see a big wave, get out of the way. I did the Futurist. My first summer season was Scarborough at the Floral Hall, which has been a long gone. I think it's a bowling green now.
Right.
I did the Opera House, which is now a casino. So,
oh, is it?
It's a shame that the theatres have all disappeared in Scarborough.
They've shut them all down, haven't they?
Yeah. But the Futurist was very sad. That was a lovely theatre on the seafront.
Still
enjoy doing that.
Yeah, I never got to see that. Mm. I missed a lot of the great years, you know, but I did get to see a bit of Ken. You know, a good 10 years I got to... do some shows with him and get to know him and you and work with you and Kenny Adams and the band. And it was just lovely to be a support, you know, even for a couple of years. But you've done a lot longer, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
So you've done the Royal Writers Show because you've been around longer than me. That's why you did it. You're well respected. What's your lasting memory of Ken Dodd?
Oh, gosh, that's a hard one. I mean,
he was just a friend,
He was definitely a friend, yes.
Yeah, what do you miss?
I just missed doing the shows, and you know, it was all turning up to prepare for the show, and the atmosphere, the sort of friendly banter that we used to all have, and it was just really a really lovely atmosphere. I mean, yes, the shows were very long and quite tiring, but you know everything else just made it worthwhile.
Oh, that's lovely. It gave us some great memories.
Yes.
And it's so nice that I'm working with you this week because you get to sleep again when I'm on stage. So
yeah.
You'd be quite
just,
nice
just
to
a small nap, though.
Yeah.
Because I have to keep my eye on the stopwatch.
Well, that's because you're timing me on the stopwatch. Yeah. But you have been quite nice to me on this podcast. I'm quite surprised.
Have
you know? Yeah, there's not been many digs.
Oh, really?
He's being nice on camera.
I better up my game a bit, haven't I?
Yeah, but it's been amazing to do a hog roast with you. ladies and gentlemen, this has been the wonderful Mr. Nigel Hogg. I've known him for many years, and he always makes me feel welcome in any of the shows that we do. Nigel, thanks for being on Eyes and Teeth.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure talking to you.
Enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
I'm going to go and buy you a cup of tea.
Oh, wow. That's a first.
Let's go. That was the wonderful Mr. Nigel Hogg. Thanks, Nigel.
Thank you.
Eyes and Teeth.
Thanks to Nigel Hogg. Yes, I know, the Beyoncé bit. It was a classic, wasn't it? You can follow Nigel on Facebook if you'd like to say hello, or go to his website at www.nigelhoggproductions.co.uk. Today's quote comes from the one and only Sir Ken Dodd. Television is like a great monster, eating your gags as fast as you say them. Eyes and Teeth is written, produced and hosted by Steve Hewlett, vocals by Lola Larissa and Nina Hewlett, additional vocals by Rich T. The Eyes and Teeth music and jingles are produced and performed by Kevin Dean. Join me on the last edition of Season 12 when I welcome the legendary Tommy Cannon.